Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ravens lose in Buffalo 27-25 last night. Their season is over. Locker room cleanout was today. Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He joins us now, courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Jonas, thanks as always for your time. And it feels like, at least to me, and you could tell me I'm wrong, but the more things change, the more they stay the same. And it feels like, at least we're talking about more what the Ravens did wrong than what the Bills did right last night.
Yeah, it's pretty galling when you look at some of the stats. I mean, you know, I cited this in my story that went up this morning, but of the six games that the Ravens have lost in the Lamar Jackson starting quarterback era, only one has passed for more than 209 yards. And, like, there haven't been a whole lot of runaway ground game performances other than that one Derrick Henry game in 2019. So, you know, obviously this wasn't a vintage Ravens playoff defense performance in terms of points allowed, but, you know, they held Buffalo under 300 yards. They stiffened up in the second half, and, you know, you would have thought that just looking at those stats alone, taking away the score, that would have been enough for this offense to put this Bills team away, even playing on the road, even playing without Zay Flowers. And just, as you said, Ken, it's just things keep on happening in very unfortunate ways that have us talking about this team that was number one in DVOA, just like it was last year, just like it was in 2019, falling not one step short of the Super Bowl, but two steps short.
Well, Jonas, one of these sort of incongruities is offensively as well, where 7.3 yards per play, second best in Ravens playoff history. They had a 2012 wild card game in a dome against the Colts. Very different circumstances. Worst defense. Perfect day to, you know, run around and throw around. And Lamar plays A-plus football in the second half. Yet I'm still looking at Todd Monken saying, we all thought their superpower was the ability to run the ball. And we didn't think the Bills would play it the same way this time. And they didn't. And they're run blitzing on early downs. And they're using different personnel. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, if you'd have told me that would have happened, then I would have told you one of two things. Todd Monken has 15 more plays where he says, we'll beat your heavy with super heavy. And Jones plays 13 snaps. And they go crazy in the 6-0 line stuff and run and throw out of that. Or I would have told you, then he just adjusts and he runs the hell out of Lamar Jackson on option ball outside the tackle box and says, that's fine, I'll beat you that way. They didn't either. Like, they did none of the above. Like, that's what I can't get my head around.
Yeah, I guess I don't have that much of a problem with the process because of the results being what they were. I mean, like, obviously, I think probably my biggest quibble was with the goal line play calling when they get down there to the 2-yard line and, you know, Derrick Henry is stuffed for a 1-yard loss and then they go play action and then they, you know, Lamar's forced to just throw a check down on 3rd and 9 or whatever it was on that goal line play. But I mean, the fact that they didn't have to punt, I think was to me evidence that, you know, they found a way to adjust. They found a way to move the ball pretty reliably, and it just came down to turnovers. It came down to a lack of execution on those two pointers. It came down to, you know, the bad series of play calls at the goal line. I mean, you know, obviously people are probably going to hang on to Derrick Henry's lack of touches, and they're going to look at Lamar not having a single design touch. But, you know, there were read option plays for him. He read it out and didn't think that he was the man for the job. I think that at least on one of those plays that went for very, very little, he made the incorrect read, and the Ravens got knocked off schedule. But, you know, I mean, you said it, Jason, like 7.3 yards per play. They didn't have a single punt. They were playing without, you know, they're the best wide receiver. They were playing a Bills defense that I think is probably or was definitely a lot better than it was in week four. I am not as, you know, displeased with kind of the play calling considerations as I was after the AFC Championship game. I just think that this just wasn't their day, and it's as simple as that.
Well, let's get to Mark Andrews.
Here we
Jonas.
Go.
We focus a lot on Lamar Jackson and his shortcomings in the playoffs, but we haven't seen a vintage Mark Andrews game in the postseason. He hasn't even scored a touchdown in his career in the postseason. Is there anything that you see out of Andrews in these playoff games where he comes up small? And is there a possibility that we've seen Mark Andrews' last snap as a Raven with him entering the final year of his deal?
I think there's a pretty small likelihood. I mean, obviously, he's going to have the fourth highest cap hit on the team next year. That's not insignificant. I think if they want to get it down, they could, you know, approach him about a negotiation and a potential extension, and maybe that's something that both sides would be amenable to. But listen, I mean, like, he had career high catch rate. I think he's second among tight ends in ESPN's receiver tracking metrics. Just behind him is Isaiah Likely, which is obviously the big complicating factor in all this, the big X factor in how the Ravens might decide how they want to, you know, mark their future forward at that position. But I think Mark would tell you, even though sure would have been nice to have talked to him today.
Yeah, he couldn't tell you. Exactly. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, it's not great. Not a great look for anyone involved with that organization. I will say that there is probably a little bit of context loss when just looking at his playoff history in 2019. I remember talking to his, I think, you know, a brother or family member about just how banged up he was at the end of that year, where, you know, he could barely walk to the airport as you know, he was heading back home to Arizona. That entire tight end group that was so vaunted in 2019 was just hanging on by a thread at the end of that season, and obviously that Titans defense didn't treat him too nicely. And then, you know, last year, obviously, it was just a kind of a minor miracle that he was even able to make it back onto the field against the Chiefs. You know, he wasn't 100% healthy until I think a couple weeks or a couple months after that. So you put in those two performances, and obviously it's going to drag down his receiving averages. But it is, as you said, guys, like, a pretty confounding that a guy who leads the Ravens all time in receiving touchdowns does not have a single score. And now he's getting outproduced by Isaiah Likely, who is, of course, you know, one of the more impressive tight ends, especially the young tight ends in the league. So he had a couple of opportunities to kind of rewrite the narrative on him. I think Lamar probably did more to help his own redemption arc, even in defeat last night. But it would have been nice for Mark to just kind of rip the Band-Aid off and tell us all what he was feeling or what he's not feeling after what happened, 18 hours ago. But it didn't happen. And now it's just, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. And so into all of that will go all the speculation and conjecture that Ravens fans want to kind of project onto him.
We're talking with Jonas Schaefer. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. So, Jonas, let's spin it forward. I know it's still fresh, but do you see a lot of turnover here? Do you see them running it back with most of this group? Or what do you foresee?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the depth chart, and so many guys, definitely a lot more than last year, are under contract. They're, you know, set to maybe take on increased roles, but there's a lot to really like about just what this team has at the skill position groups in particular. And you think of, you know, what they have at wide receiver, what they have at tight end. I think that they could definitely make a move in the draft for a wide receiver. I think you still need, you know, someone like a Keon Coleman, or even just kind of a Matt Collins, just someone who can be a good run blocker, someone who could be a type of physical presence for you at that X position, so that Zay Flowers is a little more unpredictable in his usage, but I don't think there will be more than a handful of teams whenever the Super Bowl ends and they come out with the early Super Bowl odds who have better odds than the Ravens. I mean, they have so much good talent, you know, in the trenches at key positions. Lamar, you know, continues to get better year after year. So will they be as lucky injury-wise as they were next year, this past season? Probably not, but you know, at this point, as far as the odds makers are concerned, everyone's healthy. Everyone's going to be playing in 2025. And I think there's a lot to like about what this team could be, especially if they can find a way to bring back Ryan Stanley.
They were in triage mode defensively week 11. We've all chronicled that. I do wonder, though, now, Jonas, it seems to me like this is maybe still a little bit more of a passive defense than ideal. And they had to do so much just to get communication and the basics, right? Like football 101, what happens when we're in cover two? Like, they had to reestablish that stuff that I don't really know that they got to master's or thesis level stuff. Like, I've got them for 11 blitzes of over five guys since week 11, like total in eight games. And I know that that's not going to be Wink Martindale stuff anymore. But I just kind of feel like they can use this as an opportunity to maybe build on. And I also feel like if you're Kyle Hamilton, if you want him to be a playmaker, you probably need to go get a free safety and maybe get him back to what he was.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Marlon Humphrey does a great job with his run fits as a slot defender. But if you are skeptical of your ability to find a Brandon Stevens replacement, which is a very funny sentence to say out loud, then you're going to need to move him back outside. And it's, you know, it's obviously a position he has some experience with, you know, in all those base personnel groupings. But I agree. I think the defense did lose a bit of a razor's edge when Kyle Hamilton got moved back to the safety. I mean, he was great at limiting explosives with Ardarius, but you look at how many young safeties picked in the second, third, fourth round have been able to step in around the league and really make impacts. And I think the Ravens could probably find someone to do that, but I mean, to your earlier point, Jason, I think probably the most confounding part of what that defense did earlier this season and, you know, probably ended up coming back to bite them because they would have maybe been hosting a playoff game in Baltimore instead of having to go on the road to Orchard Park. It's like if Mike McDonald and Zach Orr were attached to the hip schematically, philosophically, why did it take so long for everyone to, you know, start speaking the same language? And maybe that was because everyone was trying to speak English and Marcus Williams was speaking Spanish, Filipino, or something like that. But
Eddie Jackson, I don't think, was speaking at all. I think he was abstaining from playing and talking.
I think if he was talking, it was probably some choice words that the coaches that got him things left. But, yeah, I think, you know, no one's expecting Zach Orr to leave for a head job this year. You know, I don't know what the odds of Todd Monken maybe taking a head coaching job as he's coaching dominoes start to fall, but you know, everyone remembers just how much that defense leveled up in year two with Mike McDonald. And I think we saw some things schematically from Zach Orr, you know, people smarter than me talking about how well he disguised cover two and how they, you know, did this and did that to really make quarterbacks double clutch or triple clutch. And I think that they will be able to build on that, especially with how many guys they have at every level of that defense coming back. But, you know, defense is so variable from year to year. And honestly, the biggest credit to John Harbaugh is that, like, maybe once in the past 8 or 9 years, they had not had a defense ranked in the top 10 DVOA, and that was the year from hell where everyone just got completely hurt.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, always great, man.
Thank you
so much for your time.
Brother.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Of course, guys. Looking forward to it. Appreciate
Hall of Famer forevermore.
Yeah, that's right. Hall of Famer for life, Jonas Schaefer. Hey, coming up next, you got to follow that. It's T-Bone time. TMI with T-Bone.
Good luck, Bone.
What you got?
Yeah, we'll continue to break down the loss, but also where is his personnel, is his coaching, is his players? We've seen so many different cast of characters come through here, and where do they go from here after dropping another big, big opportunity? We'll get into it next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the fan.
T-Bone time, TMI with TM. By the way, before we get to T-Bone time, I just want to let the people know, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're here from you, 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on what you witnessed last night. But Bone, the floor is yours.
Fortunately, the Ravens and their fans know heartbreak endings in the postseason all too well. And you can even throw 2018 out the window. Lamar's rookie year, they went on a nice run to win the division. But 2019, you got the debacle against the Titans with all of those turnovers, the turnover on downs, Derrick Henry running wild. 2020, you have the pick six. Heck, even throwing Huntley's here in 2022, the fumble at the goal line where Hendrickson takes it back. Zay fumbling.
Why wasn't it
gets
Dobbins?
Through the end.
Why wasn't
it Dobbins? So that's another question. And then, of course, yesterday, three turnovers. In a season in which 18 games prior to this, including the wild card round against the Steelers, in which they had 11 turnovers in 18 games. It was the fewest amount of turnovers that they've had in a season. The only other game in which they had three turnovers was the first Steelers game, which, coincidentally enough, ended in a loss. And these opportunities that they're squandering, it's tough. CBS, they put out that stat. 78 wins over the last seven seasons. No team in NFL history has more wins over a seven-year span without a Super Bowl appearance than the Ravens. And looking at these this year and last year in particular, Ravens were able to do historic things defensively. They were the first defense ever to lead the NFL in sacks, takeaways, which we see doesn't have much carryover. They didn't force many takeaways this year, and points per game. This year, they did historic things offensively. First offense ever, 4,000 yards passing, 3,000 yards rushing. Derrick Henry running for the most yards, age 30 running back or older. Lamar Jackson, first quarterback ever, 4,000 yards passing, 900-plus yards rushing. Both of those guys having career-type years, for sure, and Bateman having a career year. Marlon Humphrey having arguably the best year of his career. Ronnie Stanley, for the first time in his career, playing all 17 games and playing at a high level. A lot of things have broke right for this football team in the past couple of years. But you just have the one appearance to the conference championship. And this team has been so healthy last year and even more so this year, where the pendulum swings the other way more often than not. You just can't keep squandering these opportunities, and you just wonder what it is. You know, I don't. They've had really good rosters this year and last year. Do they have some warts? Absolutely. But all things considered, I don't think you can really quibble heavily about the personnel. Coaching, we've talked a lot. AFC Championship last year, this year, things you could do differently.
They gotta figure out how to stop beating themselves.
That's the issue. It's the turnovers. The six postseason losses, you know, since 2018, you have 15 turnovers. It can't happen. You have two takeaways. It's just your margin of victory is so razor sharp when you lose the turnover battle going away.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar hadn't been personally responsible for two turnovers in the same game since the AFC Championship game last year. He looked more comfortable. He looked more free. He looked more locked in this postseason than before. So I don't think it's that. I don't think the stage is too big for him. I don't think it's about him getting rattled or some of the things maybe we saw in the past. It's not like they weren't battle tested. They played 10 playoff teams in the regular season and they held their own against almost all of them.
Same with last year, playing all those games. I remember after the bye week, how difficult we thought that stretch was.
As much as this isn't about the defense, I don't think they have defensive playmakers.
Well,
I think Marlon was this year.
I thought you made a good point with Jonas, and you made it before. They're going to have to go get a free safety because they got to put Kyle Hamilton back in that playmaking
position. Begging them to put Hamilton back there because they couldn't keep doing what they were doing and they had nobody else.
They had no choice.
But, like, if you want it to look like it did with McDonald, which was a takeaway defense. Now, they didn't turn Kansas City over. Kansas City doesn't really turn the ball over in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, that's why Mahomes is 16-3. He's 16-3 in the playoffs. So, like, I just think to give themselves more of a chance to steal a game or to win a turnover battle in the postseason, I think they, like, Matabike regressed. Brandon Stevens regressed majorly.
Awful.
Kyle Hamilton's role shifted, but he wasn't that weekly playmaking force he was a year ago. Roquan Smith fell off a cliff. Travis Jones didn't take the jump we thought he might. Ajabo's a complete nothing burger. Oway is a nice player. He's not a playmaker.
By the way, so, Van Noy's a year older now.
Yeah, so like, I do kind of look at that and say, who's that sort of next level defensive player who's going to help make a play that completely changes the fortunes of your season? I mean, they didn't turn people over this year all year long, and that played out again in the playoffs.
Coming up next, six-pack time. Ravens lose 27-25. It is our offensive observations. That's next here on The Fan. Ravens lose 27-25. Time for our six-pack of offensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
I want to give a shout-out to Rashad Bateman here, who caught his 11th touchdown of the season yesterday. It was the first time all year the Ravens lost a football game in which he scored a touchdown. He also had four catches for 66 yards. They couldn't punch it in after the 42-yard catch. But Rashad Bateman, I think one of the most surprising things to happen this season was he became a thing.
I'm using six as a catch-all here to just accentuate the positives because this is about to skew a little barbaric.
Mm-hmm.
7.3 yards per play is second best in Ravens playoff history for a game. 2012 wild card at the Colts. is the only time better. 9.6 net yards per attempt, second highest ever by Baltimore Ravens in a playoff game, also to that Colts game. 143 more yards than the Bills, higher three-point conversion rate than the Bills. And I thought Bateman and Justice Hill both stepped up big at a time when other guys around them either weren't available or were coming up small.
Number five.
I'm not super pleased with Todd Monken, which is hard to say coming off of what I just gave you, those numbers. But I thought the goal-to-go situations were managed poorly. You've got a chance to lean on Braun with Henry multiple times or clear it out and go empty with your quarterback and get it in the best hands of your best player or your second-best player. They leaned into none of that. If you would have told me the Bills were going to go as heavy as they could go and run blitz and attack the way they did to sell out to stop the run, I would have said, well, then, all right, that's fine. There's going to be a whole bunch of design runs for Lamar Jackson playing with the mesh point with Justice Hill, and they're also going to go 6-0 line, 10, 15, maybe even more plays and road grade them with their big beef. They did none of the above. Just two rushing snaps with six offensive linemen. One was a goal line situation for negative yards for Henry, and the other was Henry's 17-yard run that could have gone to the house. They never went back to it. I just felt like he didn't put enough emphasis on Lamar's legs, and that maybe because they could do so many different things well running the ball offensively, they almost got caught going from thing to thing to thing without letting enough time for anything to really marinate and take that game over the way it could have. But I think Todd Monken's adjustments came too late.
I was interested how to order this, but you just did some for me. I'm simpatico on Monken, though. I'm separating the first and goal situation or the goal to go situation for the Bateman catch for later. But I was shocked, especially after hearing him talk about scars and things like that leading up to this game, and the game, like, he wouldn't make some of the same mistakes again, but maybe they're not exactly the same mistakes, but man, I was surprised at some of the things they called or I guess didn't call in this game. And I felt, hey, they got a lot of yards, they scored points, but man, I felt they left a lot on the table.
Bills win time of possession, and James Cook has more rushes than Derrick Henry. Yeah, two things you would not have, you would have had a hard time convincing me of.
I don't get it.
Number four.
Which leads me to the first and goal after the Rashad Bateman 42-yard catch. Me personally, and I know Lamar's great, and they've been really good in the red zone because of Lamar, but there's a reason why you brought Derrick Henry to Baltimore. And yeah, he gets stuffed on first down, but with your go heavy and hell, give him the ball three straight times, or if it takes it four straight times to get the ball in the end zone. Because part of this whole thing was to bludgeon them and intimidate them, and I thought they waited too long to do so, and I thought that was a missed opportunity.
My four is the interior of the offensive line crapped the bed in the first half. And it looked to me like Oliver and Phillips were up for a rock fight. They wanted to throw down. They wanted a battle royale. They were getting chippy after the play. And I think they got in Linderbaum's head. And Linderbaum got pushed back into the quarterback and for a second and 14. And four plays later, him looking shaky to me, he fires a snap that most people other than Lamar Jackson don't even get to in the first place. Now, did Lamar do too much? We'll get to that. But you take a center in the first round. I'm sorry. I want him. I want like decent snaps out of him, like in a loser go home playoff game. He shouldn't be getting pushed around by a team that's not coming in there with a bunch of 380 pounders. And I think part of their inability to run the ball was that group up front, especially the interior. I like the tackles. I didn't like the interior offensive line play in the first half, and that falls on the center. Two hurries allowed, a pressure. He gets beat for the trip-up sack. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jason. I know it's the offensive six-pack, but the Bills control the line of scrimmage both sides of the football in that first. They outrushed the Ravens in the first half of that football game in large part because they were able to control the line of scrimmage.
Six-pack of offensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
Tale of two halves for Lamar Jackson, but I have to really applaud what he was able to do in the second half. And I give him an A-plus in the second half. Down his two best wide receivers for most of it, with his number one tight end being a double agent and really costing them the game. For him to have under duress after a bad first start, the kind of second half he had, and that drive with limited personnel, only for Andrews not to be able to catch the ball in the end, it's a problem. For his offensive coordinator not to activate his legs, and for Lamar still to come that close to probably forcing this thing into overtime, was special. I don't think the interception was on him. And the fumble, absolutely. But it started with a terrible snap.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is not why they lost this game. And Lamar Jackson is damn close to the primary reason why this game should have gone more than 60 minutes.
My three is the two-point conversion, so close but yet so far away. He had Isaiah Likely wide open, and I think he would tell you he needed to put a little more lift on that ball and get it over Milano, and it's an easy catch. And then they don't have to go for the second one. But the second one, Mark Andrews wide open, and we know what happened there, and I'll get to Andrews momentarily.
Number two.
Two is where I have Lamar Jackson. I think, Bone, you made a good point earlier. Like, the two turnovers early in his career would have destroyed him. But he was able to relax and be, quite frankly, incredible in the second half, even without the called running plays that I felt they should have to activate his legs. But whether it's throwing to Anthony Miller or Tylan Wallace or Isaiah Likely, and as we talked about, Bateman got hurt on the final drive, and he still led them down for the potential game-tying touchdown. I think that Lamar Jackson has grown so much as a player, and I get it. He's got to wear those two first-half turnovers. I agree with Jason. The pick is not all on him, but man, has he grown, and I still am supremely confident in what Lamar Jackson brings.
My two is Derrick Henry didn't look up for this to me. I'm sorry. He looked, there seemed to be trepidation in his running style, a lot of tippy toe, a lot of side to side. It looked to me in the first half like it did the first 2 weeks of the season where he was still trying to figure out, running from the pistol. He wasn't running people over. I think the early drop rattled him a little bit. I didn't like him in pass protection at all, and he certainly played a role in that interception. Six of his first eight runs went for 2 yards or less. I mean, even if he's only getting 1 yard before contact, I think we expect him to fall forward and move the pile. James yeah. Cook was moving the pile. Like, I don't know if it was too cold. He did not look locked in to me in the first half of this game. And 8 carries for 21 yards. I don't care if the center's not having his best night and maybe Monken's not as in his bag as normal, but this guy was here to set a physical tone and take games over. And he got going when it was almost too late, and then they didn't have him on the field in the fourth quarter because he can't pass protect, frankly, and they were better with Justice Hill in a 2-minute drill. It's just not it wasn't good enough for me.
Number one.
This is the Mark Andrews hat trick game, baby. Like, this is on him more than anybody else. People aren't talking enough about the drop when it's 7-7, and Lamar hits him right in the hands. He's got leverage to the outside. I watched the play 10 times. I don't know what else Lamar could have done except catch it for him. If he catches that ball, it's 2nd and 2 from the 20.
And
the
worse.
Entire playbook's open. Even if he just runs that, catches it and runs out of bounds there, it's 2nd and 2. Everything's there for the taking. And you've got a chance to take a lead if you just don't turn the ball over. I don't know what he was thinking at midfield, cutting back against the grain and going in reverse. That's not his game. That's not who he is. You cannot fumble the football there. And anybody trying to say that last throw is a little late, this or that, stop it. My wife could have caught that pass.
I mean,
like, no, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
Like, it's just impossible. And this guy, in his playoff career, has 2 games over 50 yards. And this was one of them.
Yep.
And this game was abject failure. Like, I'm sorry. I'm trading him for what I can get for him, a 4. Maybe it moves to a 3. I'm paying Isaiah Likely. They like to draft multiple tight ends. But you got to try to find, like, to Bones TMI, where's the commonality here? What is the problem? Well, this guy hasn't been good in the playoffs, and he's been given enough shots. And he doesn't want to talk to the media or have responsibility and accountability to fans. See ya.
We're simpatico on Mark Andrews, and we are also simpatico on the fact that I don't think enough people are talking about the first drop, which would have given them at worst second and two from the 20 if he goes nowhere from catching the ball, and then the play after does not happen because they're doing something different, and they're going to at least get 3 points out of that. That's a 4 point or a 10 point swing because the next play is a fumble that Von Miller runs for 40 yards, and the Bills get a touchdown out of it. The fumble was atrocious. I don't know where he was going there. He's not going to outrun anybody. Just take the yardage and go down, and then the drop at the end. Absolutely atrocious from Mark Andrews, a guy who has still not seen the end zone in a playoff game.
Way to take down the Ginger Gorilla.
Yeah, you guys had similar top threes, but with Derrick Henry, Next Gen Stats had him -5 rushing yards over expected in the first half of that football game.
He was tippy-toeing around. I'm like, what guy? Where is this guy? What happened?
And really bizarre considering the last game that he had against Buffalo, which I know was forever ago, but on his first touch, he went 87 yards in that one.
Coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on what you saw yesterday. Where are you placing the blame? Anything you liked from yesterday? Probably not. But 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next here on The Fan. Ravens lose 27-25 last night in Buffalo. Their season is over. Time now to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Chris is in Dundalk. Chris, you're on The Fan.
All right, bear with me here because I'm a few beers deep here drinking my sorrows away on MLK Day. But here we go. So I know everybody wants to talk about Andrews and Lamar turnovers and all that, but I want to talk about the play calling in the first half. So it was clear to me that Buffalo was trying to stop Derrick Henry running up the middle.
Yep.
Why did we not do more Lamar-designed runs going to the outside? I don't get it. He did not have one designed run to the outside.
It's a joke.
Not one the whole game. I don't understand why we didn't do that. And, of course, the turnovers were huge in this game. There's no doubt about that. But we could have done different things in the first half that would have led not to that happening.
No, Chris, appreciate the call. And you're absolutely right. We talked about this earlier, Jason.
Talked about through the whole show.
Yeah, we don't understand how there were zero designed runs for Lamar Jackson. And after we saw last week, Pittsburgh has, and they're better against the run, at least they're supposed to be, but they wanted to stop Derrick Henry too after he ran all over him a few weeks prior. And their solution was they're going to do mesh point stuff and Lamar's going to take the ball and run. Where was that this week?
And look, some of that is on Lamar and his just willingness to Mississippi and go. And some of it is on what he sees, and he didn't even really get a chance to check, to decide whether to play with the mesh point and keep it or give it, because there just wasn't a whole lot of that in general. But there one or two chances where maybe he could have done a little more. Maybe he could have audible into more of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the lack of any sort of intent to accentuate his legs is mind-boggling.
In a do-or-die game, you have to use every single advantage that you have. And Lamar Jackson's legs, arguably one of the biggest advantages on this football team. You had the first drive of the Steelers game where he had 5 consecutive runs. He had 6 runs this entire game, none designed.
11 in the first half of that game while it was a game. Yeah. I mean, if that game, I got news for him. It wasn't 28-7 or whatever. He would have ran 20 times in that game if he had to.
Let's go to Chris in Baltimore. Chris, you're on The Fan.
How y'all doing, man? Thanks for stepping my call.
Sure.
All right, so I'll put it like this. Okay, so everybody's talking about how Andrews dropped the ball and all that. We get that. But at the end of the day, it's Harbaugh. If Harbaugh would have just followed regular game time precautions, touchdown, extra point, and kept it moving, we probably wouldn't even been having this conversation. We probably wouldn't even been having this conversation right now. But no, Harbaugh wanted to get cute and greedy in the first half by going for that 2, and that's what screwed up the whole game.
He went for 2 when it was 21-19, going for 2 in the second half. And the book says to do that. Like he did, he didn't. Every team goes for 2 there in the second half.
Okay. See, and then when Likely scored that last touchdown in the last part of the game, it would have been 26-27. Because in all reality, the offense shouldn't even been out there in the first place. We should have seen Tucker come out there, get the extra point, and probably take it into overtime. We probably would have been having a whole different conversation this Monday.
Yeah, I
have a hard time putting it on the coach when they scored 100 and they produced 150 more yards than the other team. Buffalo didn't have 300 yards of total offense. Josh Allen didn't have 150, and Baltimore averaged 7.3 per play. And then those things got screwed up because dudes couldn't catch the ball. Dudes couldn't do their job.
Hey, just for the sake of accuracy, they went for two. It was 21-19. There was a minute 37 left in the third quarter. So there's less than 17 minutes left to go in this game. Every single team
in
the NFL
is going
to try to tie the game there. That's not getting cute. That's what the book tells you to do.
Yeah, I would have been shocked if he did anything other than try to tie the game, especially because you're still in the position where a field goal gives you the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't have much to pick at John Harbaugh after this football game.
They were
game.
Ready to play. They came right out and scored on their first drive. They got him in a 3rd-and-8, and Brandon Stevens got hurt by Shakir. But, I mean, they got better as the game went on, offensively and defensively.
Made
they made good halftime adjustments. Now, that's not to say it was perfect. I can pick nits with the coaches, but their best players were involved in the kind of plays, takeaways, giveaways that alter the course of seasons.
It was a much different story coaching-wise following the AFC Championship last year than the game that just happened yesterday.
If they ran a gadget wildcat for Tylan Wallace and did something they'd never done before and he fumbled, I'd be like, oh, trust me, I'd be killing the coaches. Mark Andrews couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah. Let's grab one more. We're going to take some more calls at 515-410-583-1057. Dakota's in Abington. Dakota, you're on the Fan.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
I love those two calls before me blaming the coaches. This is insane. What are they talking about? What are we talking about? I'm usually on board, all for it. If the players execute, we aren't having this conversation that we're having. That's all it comes down to. I get previous years blaming coaching. This is not one of those games. No way, no how. It comes down to execution. If they execute, don't go full jackassery mode, Andrews and then Lamar with that fumble. This game's probably not close, and they probably win by double digits, if we're being honest. They controlled that entire game. We didn't punt the ball.
No.
The whole game. We didn't punt the ball. And to get to Andrews real quick, he should never step on the field as a Raven again.
I would have been into having conversations in the combine before this.
Yeah,
now I'm
call.
Trading him.
No, I'm with you. I just like the way he said it was it amused me. I think I'm with you on that as well. And I also am not a fan of the way he's handled post game. Obviously, it's not always going to be good times. Accountability.
Yeah. That's anti-leadership.
Yeah. Coming up next, our own Cordell Woodland. He covers the team for us here at 105.7 The Fan. He was there today as the Ravens players cleaned out their lockers. He joins us next here on The Fan.